Commodity Week is made possible with support from AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for representative nearest you. And with support from ADM, using corn and oil seeds to create biofuels, agriculture's answer to diminishing fossil fuels. ADM, resourceful by nature. Commodity Week is a production of listener-supported public radio at the University of Illinois. To learn more, visit us online at will.uiuc.edu.
Well, corn futures posted a very technically bad week, and the USDA Ag Forum put some numbers on crop acreage and ethanol usage. We'll talk it all out today on Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Later in the half hour, we'll talk with one of my favorite guests on the program, John Bondurant of Bondurant Futures, joins us from Memphis, Tennessee. Our panelists today in studio, Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois, Dan Zwicker of AgriVisor Services in Normal, Illinois, and Wyatt Muse of the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Well, let's open today's discussion with these questions. Paul, I want you to defend a bullish position in the corn market. Dan, I want you to defend a negative, if not bearish, position in the corn market. And Wyatt, you have to convince me that the corn sales I made a month ago are still good ones. So let's start off with you, Paul. I want you to defend a bullish position in the corn market.
Todd, a special tip of the hat for the WILL Outlook meeting at the Beef House Restaurant. You did a marvelous job, and you're one of the best masters of ceremonies there is around.
Well, thank you very much, but still you need to defend a bullish position.
And number two, I want to also pass on that these are Paul Cooley's opinions and not necessarily ADM investors or ADM's ideas either. Well, a couple things that even when we give close scrutiny to the USDA numbers as far as acres are concerned, we actually lower the carryover next year. And Keith Collins went in there so eloquently and said that some acres aren't going to be in the real corn and cash grain belt of the Midwest. And historically, the reason they're not planting corn in those other areas is because of the yield. Maybe price has a big incentive on the deal, but we still see no big evidence anywhere of major drops in demand. Also, we will say this, that I think that the one reason that we did see bad market action wasn't necessarily at the Board of Trade, but it was worldwide. We saw a lot of stock markets do a little quivering. We saw gold and silver go down, but we did see crude oil stay fairly strong. Crude oil and ethanol and energy go hand in hand.
And so the upside potential comes from the carryout figure?
I think it also goes into that, and it's still very profitable to export grain, feed grain, and also turn it into energy.
And Dan Zwicker, on the downside, defend a bearish or negative tone to the marketplace, please.
Well, I can definitely give you a good bearish spin. Again, I kind of want to quantify it that I'm not necessarily in this camp. first thing I want to start off with is we did have a weekly reversal down. It was an outside down for the week. It was done a pretty high volume. So technically, you have to say that the market is in trouble because the people that did hold long positions a week ago are behind in those positions right now. They saw their equity go down, so that could stimulate some long liquidation. Fundamentally, all we've heard basically in the past month has been private acreage estimates anywhere from 10 to 12 million more acres of corn that's going to be planted. If you truly believe that, that's going to happen, and we're going to have a national average yield of somewhere around 153 million bushels. or I mean 153 bushels per acre, we're going to have an adequate supply of corn as we go down the road. Another point of view, the export sales numbers do indicate like that market may be front-loaded. We had an awful lot of active purchases last fall, and I think a lot of those purchases was on the ideas that we need to get something on the book because of this expanding ethanol market may drive corn prices to $4 or more down the road. We have done that over the past couple of months. So this past week, we saw weekly export sales down to 12 million. That was a marketing year low. So it does suggest that this $4 corn level has slowed down the export interest. Also, you can look at most of your livestock cattle on feed report does indicate you got less placements. So we are doing some slowing down of demand. And if you truly believe we're going to plant 10 or 12 million acres of corn, this corn market's had it.
Okay, Wyatt, you have to convince me those corn sales I made a month ago. I think they were at 379 cash.
That that sounds reasonable. Okay, let's look back a month. Our cash basis was 7 cents better, as was most of the market at that time. Aside from that, had you sold your entire crop a month ago, I think it's safe to say that you made more money in this upcoming crop year than you've made in a very, very long time by selling corn. And after the 14-cent sell-off we saw this week, we're truly not too far off from where we were 30 days ago.
Okay, thank you much. Let's take a look at some of the numbers as they came in from Chicago and Washington. Both will start in Chicago with the numbers from the Board of Trade. March corn this week at a high of $4.37 and a quarter, a low at 405 and three quarters. We give you the composite numbers, so those are from day trade and overnight both, and they settled at $4.11 on Friday afternoon. That's down 19 and a quarter cents from last Friday's settlement price. December futures at 406 and three quarters were off 14. The wheat pit in Chicago, the March contract at 494 on the high, the low at 454 and three quarters. On the low, their settlement at 459 and a half. They were off 24 and three quarters. July at 485 and a quarter were down 23 and a half from last week. Let's talk about acreage numbers really quickly. USDA putting some numbers on acreage this week at their ag forum in Washington, D.C. Planted acres at 87 million. As Wyatt pointed out to me, it's kind of strange but a little coincidental that that's up 8.7 from last year, million acres that is. 79.8 for the harvested acres. Yield on that at 152.8, which is down from their baseline projection at 153.1 on the 15th of February. The total production at 12.195 billion bushels. Let's round it up, 12.2 billion. And they end up with an ending stocks of 637 million. Is that the number we really need to worry about, Dan, the last day?
Well, I think, let's put it this way. I think that's as low as we can go on ending stocks. And I think, I don't know necessarily how they came up with that number, but I would say I think they're probably working backwards. I think USDA says, well, this is what our ending stocks level is. This is as low as we can go. So then they go up from there, I think. So you come up with a production number.
Wait,
then
you think
got
they put the ending stocks in first and then they figured everything else backwards?
I think you can do that, yeah.
I bet USDA would argue with you about that, but okay.
I don't criticize Dan because there's more truth to that than what you could ever imagine. I think Dan has probably got some wisdom there.
You guys just love USDA. Okay, I'm the other way around. I think USDA started the other way.
I think they start at the bottom. This is as low as we can go. And for all practicality, this is probably about as many acres that we can plant. And if we have favorable weather, this is about as good as yield we're going to have. And that's the production number. And so they got the ending stocks number. So then they got to mesh demand in between.
Okay, so that would put out the bullish case scenario, actually, right, Paul?
Well, Dan, you know, said a lot there. But one thing that got the market nervous, I think it was probably Thursday night, was that the idea that we would feed, we'd get wheat prices and wheat, we'd feed about 150 million more bushels of wheat. And so wheat is now a competitor to corn. So the government tried to paint the picture, as big a picture as they could, that we are going to have stability in prices in the United States of America. Now, as Dan eloquently pointed out, the way they got those numbers was to, put fairly large acreage numbers, and then they didn't drop the bean numbers quite as much as we anticipated, and then fed more wheat. And as a result, these kind of all kind of fit together with kind of a mellow package here, and then we saw worldwide deflation, you know, in the marketplace, and we had a lower price week. Those numbers they really came out with aren't very bearish at all.
Yeah, okay.
We got $4 plus corn this year and a smaller carryover. It doesn't take too much of a dreamer to realize it's a pretty supportive market.
Okay, so wait a second. I've got you on one side telling me that the 637 and the numbers that USDA put out aren't painting a bullish enough picture. Is that right? And I'm not sure whether you're telling me they're not painting a bearish enough picture or not, or at least a negative enough picture.
I think the question you have to ask is, you know, remember, a supply demand balance sheet is a projection. It doesn't tell you what the market has to do price wise to attain that balance sheet. Actually, you could probably argue in order for that 635 to be obtained, we're probably going to have to go through some price rationing to get there, because you have to, if you're only going to raise acreage 87 million and you're going to use a national average yield 152, then USDA goes in there and says it's cutting back feed usage. Some will argue that their ethanol usage number is way low. So that may be what you got to keep in mind. What a balance sheet is that is a projection of how that thing could lay out, but it doesn't tell you how the market is going to work to attain that balance
sheet. Dan hit another base hit here with his idea, and he's
not a home run.
Well, he's stealing second anyway. And one of the other things that Dan. Also has to point out here with this argument, and I agree with him on that statement, that it there's a lot of the story left to be untold. But we just can't magically, and we warned everybody about this at the Outlook meeting, that those carryover numbers are subject to some very big price swings, Todd. So that's the other thing I wanted to bring up.
Okay, let me throw a couple of numbers out here. And Wyatt, I just want you to tell me what your view of these numbers from USDA happen to be as well. So the ending stocks, once again, at 637. Dan mentioned total usage for fuel alcohol, and that was at 3.2 billion. And feed and residual use at 5.8 billion, and the fuel use, the ethanol, was the same from the Feb 15 projected baseline. The feed and residual use was down, but that was down 5.8 from 5.825. So they didn't really change. They dropped it, but not by a lot. 250,000, I think. So, what'd you make of the numbers as you sit between these two?
Yes. This is scary, but I think the 637 number is certainly not very comfortable. But keep in mind that's based on a 152 yield, and my personal bias is that the marginal acres that are going to be coming into corn may not yield as well and could drag down that national yield, therefore changing the whole scenario. As far as usage for ethanol goes, I think that's a fairly reasonable number. We know how many plants are truly under construction today that will be using 2007 crop. I think that's fairly reasonable. The big what-if out there is how much of this DDG byproduct is working into the feedstuff along with the wheat. There's an awful lot of wheat sitting out there in the countryside in grain elevators, and it's likely to work into feed rations given the prices we have today.
Are you saying that because that'll be a replacement for corn, that if we – and this is what USDA did say, is that wheat would be put into the rations. I assume it's for dairy cattle more than anything else, but maybe for beef cattle as well. And then combine that with the DGGs, and you're saying this could put some pressure on the marketplace for corn?
Not necessarily put pressure on it, because – we're looking at very tight scenarios anyway.
Just replacement.
There we go.
They're all
under the umbrella. There you go.
And one of the things that I'd like to put a footnote on what Wyatt just got through saying is last August crop production report was, I think, 152 bushels the acre, and that was the largest projected yield that the USDA has ever projected on an actual crop production report.
Okay, the numbers from the Chicago Board of Trade in the bean pit finished like this. The March contract, a high of 790, their low at 735 and three quarters. A settlement price at $7.39. They were off 39 and a quarter from last week. November beans at $7.91 and a quarter, down 39 and a half from last week. March oats at $2.43. They were off 7.5 for the day, for the week. We better get the mercantile exchange numbers in. We'll talk about the beans in just a bit. Live cattle, April contract, your new lead at 98.05 on the high, the low at 93.80. Settlement price at 97.65. They were up $3.47.5. The March feeders at 103.90, up $4.57.5. And the lean hogs settled $66.35 with a high of 68.40 and a low at 65.70. They were off 40 cents from last week. So tell me about this technical picture in the bean pit, Dan Zwicker.
Believe it or not, I don't think the beans are quite as negative as corn. We did not do the outside reversal down as we did in corn. Beans topped the week before, and we started off lower there Monday. But we did penetrate the previous week's low, which is I always watch as potential trend changers. I think the bean market... You have to say that if there's any kind of fluff in the commodity market, probably it's in soybeans. But soybeans has kind of been playing in primarily most of the February strength was catching up to corn because of these private acreage estimates that were indicating big acreage increases in corn. And if you're going to have that kind of acreage increase, then you're going to have a big decrease in soybeans. So soybeans was trying to become more competitive to corn to kind of minimize that acreage drop. The South American crop is being harvested. They've got a pretty good size crop down there, so there's going to be increased competition, I think, from South America. So beans kind of reflected that so much, but I don't think technically the beans did any major damage in the marketplace this week.
The only negative thing that I pick up is that the bean crop in South America is a little larger, and also I do think that the marketplace had a little speculative long in it, but longer term with smaller acreage and the need to plant more acres down the road, beans are pretty positive longer term.
In just 2 minutes, we'll talk with John Bondurant of Bondurant Futures out of Memphis, Tennessee.
I'm Steve Hilberg with the Midwestern Regional Climate Center, located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. It was an active end to February and a wild beginning of March across Illinois this week. After being brushed by another winter storm last weekend, cold and cloudy weather was the general rule across Illinois much of the week. Temperatures this week were near to below normal across the state. February ended up as a very cold month with departures ranging from 6 degrees below normal in southern Illinois to 11 degrees below normal in east central Illinois. The cold weather of February just about totally reversed the warmth from the early part of the winter, and overall, temperatures were near normal for December through February. The main precipitation event this week was some rain on Wednesday and thunderstorms on Thursday. While there were some severe storms with damage on Thursday, overall things were not as bad as they could have been. Precipitation for the month of February was just above normal across most of Illinois. Next week will be a generally quiet one across the state, with temperatures running at near to slightly above normal. Most of the week should be dry until Thursday or Friday, when a low moving out of the southern plains could bring some rain and/or snow to Illinois. For the Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign, I'm Steve Hilberg.
And I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to Commodity Week. Our panelists in studio are Dan Zwicker of AgriVisor Services out of Bloomington, Illinois, Wyatt Muse of the Andersons right here in Champaign County, and Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. One other note before we get to John Bondurant, the final crop insurance figures were released this week. And they were based on the month of February. Corn has been set at $4.06 a bushel, and soybeans will be paid off of $8.09 a bushel. Joining us now from Memphis, Tennessee, is the president of Bondurant Futures, John Bondurant. He's a speculator and a fund manager who specializes in grain and cotton trades. He's also one of the few fund managers, he says, who uses fundamentals rather than technicals to make his trading decisions. He's a past director of the National Futures Association. And he farms a very large number of acres. Welcome to Commodity Week, John.
Oh, it's fun to be here. I loved your previous discussion. I agree with Dan.
on
the USDA.
Yeah, that they actually said it from 6:37 and then worked their way up. We had a good laugh while we were listening to the weather about that, in fact. Hey, my first question to you in the spring is always, what did you decide to plant in what percentages?
Well, let's see. Last year I had no wheat. I got 3,500 acres. Last year I had 4,200 acres of cotton. I'm going to have zero on that. A lot of beans. I guess the biggest thing is cotton acreage is just going down like crazy. We make a lot more money on irrigated corn or irrigated beans than we can on cotton, and we need rotation, and we're doing it. And we're going to start planting corn this coming week.
John, the next time you're on this panel with us, I'd invite you to come up either on the train or fly in or what, because we could probably find another microphone. It'd be fun to have you in the studio as well.
Oh, I loved your discussion.
Number one, has $8 beans changed the plantings as far as the exodus to more corn acres in the South?
Yes. I know on my operations, on some of my irrigated corn, where I was going to put in corn, I'm now thinking, gee, I ought to be irrigated beans. Make more money. You may make more money. And we got high fertilizer costs, et cetera. So I think it is, and it's certainly taken a lot of dry land cotton away. That's for sure.
John, with the shift out of cotton into seed grains, what do you see out of the grain elevators in the South or in your area? Can they handle this product coming on in the fall? Will they be able to handle it given their storage capacity?
Well, the way they're acting on the basis, I guess not. They're trying to kill us on the basis. Wheat's 40 under right now, which is, I've never seen 40 under. Corn basis was pretty strong for a while, and now it's about 20 under, which is normally is maybe 10 under to 10 under, 10 over 10 under.
John, on this switch to corn acres or out of cotton into corn or into soybeans, whatnot, is that pretty dominant all the way down through the Delta, all the way into Louisiana?
Absolutely.
You're going to see that's all going to happen.
Even more so in Louisiana.
And it's going to be a significant switch.
Well, you got 7.5 million acres of cotton in the South, and who knows how much. People think the Delta, which has 4.25 million acres, could be down as much as 50%.
So we're going to pick up somewhere around 2 million acres of either corn or soybeans.
That would just be in the Delta, and then you got the Southeast with another 3.3 million acres, whatever they're going to do, and that's probably going to be, they have less irrigation, so less switching. The big switch is irrigated cotton to irrigated corn.
And that's down all along the Mississippi River, is that what you're talking about?
Okay. Yeah. And how many acres are we talking about there, do you know?
What I call the Delta is 4.25 million acres, and most all that's up and down the Mississippi River from, say, Sykes to Missouri south.
Now, along those lines, John, have people begun planting corn in the Delta, or is it still too cold and wet?
There's been a little bit of corn planted in Mississippi I know of, and I'm going to start planting probably Wednesday. It's dry enough. If it doesn't rain again, we'll be planting. I think the 15th of March, everybody will be absolutely going full tilt.
Yep. Excellent.
Now, what time of year, when's that, if you get that, start getting that crop planted here this week and are very active over the next, let's say, 3 weeks, when's that crop ideally going to pollinate?
Oh, in June, or middle of June.
Middle of June, okay.
Which is good time, because that's when it's usually not quite as hot down here.
You talked about you putting a lot more wheat acres in. Were those... switch, is that a winter wheat? Is that right?
Winter wheat, and we'll double crop it with beans. A lot of mine came out of full season beans and irrigated cotton.
And would you be normal in terms of what went into the ground, you think, last fall for that area, for the South or the Delta region?
Well, Delta had a big increase in winter wheat acreage because it was so high in price. It was the first one that got high in price.
And are you, how worried about wheat prices are you? Apparently not so worried.
Oh, I'm.
Or you already priced it out last fall?
I'm about 100% hedged.
So you are worried.
For 07 and 08.
You think USDA was right that wheat will be substituted in?
Absolutely. I think worldwide there will be at least 400 million bushels more wheat fed and that much corn less fed. I think that's the dead minimum.
And then you would be in agreement with the panelists that's substitute and doesn't really have an impact on a bearish impact on the price of corn.
No, I wouldn't agree with that.
Okay, well,
I don't
tell
think
me
we
about
said
it.
That. I think we said it did have a little effect on the corn.
So tell me about that. Then maybe all of you could jump in here on this because
look, last year we had corn something almost $2 under wheat for a while there, and we had tremendous corn exports. And why wouldn't you? Well, this year we've got $5 wheat sitting there for Russia, and that's going to be feed wheat, and it's going to replace feed corn. And think of the freight differentials from Russia to Europe and, say, from U.S. to Europe. So I just think you're going to see a big drop in corn feeding worldwide. We picked up 10 million tons or 400 million bushels last year at the expense of corn. I would expect it'll go exactly the opposite this year.
John, would you share with us your ideas on what kind of numbers you are looking at on corn and soybeans based on your best guess as of 4:58 today?
Well, I've got several questions I ask myself. Number one, summer fallow has 20 million acres in it. We've had the second wettest winter in 100 years in the Plain States where most of that is. So I think all of us may be really missing the idea there. There may be a lot more acres there. Also, pasture acres are 62 million acres, and you can demonstrate when prices of grains get high, pasture acres goes down. So, I don't know. Right now, I'm playing around with 71 million acres of beans and about 87 of corn, but wouldn't be surprised if both of them are bigger because of summer fallow.
So what kind of price tag are you looking at then this fall?
Gosh, I don't know. All I can say is, as a farmer, I've been hedging I've been hedging real hard in 07 and especially 08. I'm scared of CRP acres coming out. I see corn feeding dropping 400 million in the U.S. this year, 200 to wheat, 200 to DDGs. I see animal numbers, as y'all are talking about. Cattle on feed are now down and going to stay down. Broiler chick sets are down. Hog numbers are down. Hog weights are down. Cattle weights are down. So, less feeding, more DDGs, and, you know, so feeding is going to be down substantially, I'd say 400 million. Exports depends on how much feed we have around the world, but I don't know. You know, when you're talking about $4 corn, it's not like, I think 600 million bushel carryover is terribly bullish, but it's not $2 corn anymore, it's $4 corn, and we're teaching the rest of the world how to fertilize corn. South America, what are we going to do with corn acreage down there? They're planting a tremendous safrinha crop in Brazil right now.
John, we appreciate you being with us.
Yeah, it's great fun.
All right, John Bondurant is with Bondurant Futures out of Memphis, Tennessee. A final word from our panelist in studio, Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services.
Well, tip of the hat to the good program. I think also the expense of fertilizer will keep the corn acreage in check.
Wyatt Muse of the Andersons.
Keep a watch on basis, especially this upcoming fall, as it could get extremely wide with added corn in this area.
And Dan Zwicker of AgriVisor Services.
This past week's price action is definitely negative, but it's not necessarily the end of the ball game yet.
We appreciate it, gentlemen, and we appreciate John joining us from his office in Memphis, Tennessee. That does wrap up this week's edition of Commodity Week. Remember, you can always listen to Commodity Week and the other ag programming on WILL. Just go to WILLAG.org. I'm Todd Gleason. You have a very good week.
Commodity Week is made possible with support from AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for representative nearest you. And with support from ADM, using corn and oil seeds to create biofuels, agriculture's answer to diminishing fossil fuels. ADM, resourceful by nature. Commodity Week is a production of listener-supported public radio at the University of Illinois. To learn more, visit us online at will.uiuc.edu.